Are you having difficulty reading the newspaper? Are you experiencing severe vision loss? Or do you know someone who is? If you answer yes to any of these questions, then the American Council of the Blind can help you. We are blind and visually impaired people from every walk of life who work together to enhance our lives. For more information or our membership application, call 800-424-8666 or contact us online at www.acb.org. The American Council of the Blind, forging new frontiers for our future.
ACB Radio is brought to you by the American Council of the Blind. ACB, the people that bring you ACB Radio.
ACB Radio is proud to present Cooking Without Looking. This is the audio soundtrack from the TV shows which have been recently aired in North America by some public broadcast television stations. ACB Radio is grateful to Renee Rentmeester, producer of Cooking Without Looking, for allowing us to use this audio. If you would like information and strategies for contacting your own local public television station to request that they air upcoming seasons of Cooking Without Looking, give Renee Rentmeester a call. Her telephone number is 888-290-7005. And now, on to Cooking Without Looking, right here on ACB Radio Main Street.
My eyes started to get blurry. I almost hit another car and I immediately pulled over. If you're losing your eyesight, lose your keys, but not your dignity.
Please call Vision World Foundation toll free at 888-290-7005. This is Cooking Without Looking, the first television show produced especially for people who are blind and visually impaired.
Thank you for that wonderful Cooking Without Looking welcome. My name is Alan Preston, and as I'm sure most of you know, all of us who appear on the show are either totally blind or severely visually impaired. But I'll bet you don't know how many deaf and blind children are educated in Florida and across the United States.
Hi, I'm Annette Watkins. Today we'd like to salute the Florida School for the Deaf and Blind. It is the state's public school for eligible students from pre-K to 12th.
Hi, I'm Celia Chacon. Founded in 1885, the Florida School for the Deaf and the Blind does not charge families of eligible Florida residents.
The School for the Deaf and the Blind prepares the students for a wide range of professional careers and trades.
Each year, more than 70% of their graduates go on to colleges, universities, and technical training centers.
So let's meet some of the best and brightest students from the Florida School for the Deaf and the Blind on Cooking Without Looking. Hi, we're joined here now by two fantastic students from the Florida School for the Deaf and the Blind. And I have here with me this afternoon
Crystal Doty
and
Pamela Gomez.
Thank you. Welcome. Tell me, how do you like going to the School for the Deaf and the Blind?
I like it a lot.
How long have you been there?
I've been there for 6 years.
Ah, good, good. And how old are you now?
16.
16, great. Crystal, how long have you been going there?
I've been going there for 7 years.
And how old are you now?
17.
Ah, almost done there, huh?
Yes.
Uh-huh. So tell me, what classes do you like the best there, Pam?
My science and my cooking class.
Great. And you, Crystal?
I like my reading and home ec.
And home ec. That's great. Okay, let's get cooking now. What is it we're making here today?
Waldorf salad.
Oh, that sounds yummy. How do we begin now?
Well, we take 3 or 4 apples. We're going to be using 4.
Mm-hmm.
And we're going to use the technology that we know is the core slicer.
Okay. And how do you use the core slicer?
Well, first of all, what Pamela here is showing is an apple placed in the center mm-hmm. in front of her, and then having the core slicer on top of it, and where the core in the middle.
Correct.
There's a circle inside a core slicer.
Exactly.
And you place it on it, and then you push down.
You got to push down hard.
Ooh, it sounds like it.
I can hear it. All the way down it went, correct?
Yeah.
Down to the board. Are we doing the celery now?
I'm right now doing it.
Are you using a big knife or a small knife or a sharp knife?
Like a paring knife.
Okay, that's good. And you chop them down into bite-sized pieces or smaller?
You can do smaller
okay.
or bite-sized.
Mm-hmm. What other things do you like to cook, Pam?
Usually I'll make like pork chops and rice.
Mm, that sounds good. My daughter was your age. She didn't care for the kitchen.
I love cooking. I could be in the kitchen for a while.
Well, that's good. How much water do you use to soak the raisins in?
When they're covered, they're fine.
Oh, okay.
As long as you cover the raisins.
With the hot water or cold water, ice water, what kind of water do we use?
Warm water.
Crystal, you want to explain what you're doing?
I just put the water inside the cup of raisin.
Okay.
And let it.
How much raisins did you put into soak?
1/3.
1/3 cup?
Cup.
Okay.
Yes.
Not 1/3 of a gallon. Okay. We have to squeeze the lemon, don't we?
Yeah.
We forgot the lemon guy. All right. Who's going to do that, Pam?
I can do that.
All right.
All right.
Are you done with
here's
the apples now? You don't have to finish them all. Okay.
Okay.
Just so we can kind of assemble and show how we assemble the salad, okay?
Okay.
Right now, keep squeezing the lemon and into the bowl of
apples?
The apples.
Okay, good. Are the raisins ready yet, Crystal?
Yeah.
Okay.
We drain them.
You do? Okay. So we've drained the raisins?
And now
you're going to drain them now.
Putting them in there.
Okay. And what else will you be putting in next?
Right now, I'm going to measure 1/3 cup walnut.
Do you have that? Now we're about to put in the sugar.
Oh, okay.
You want to start for it?
No, we're going for a second one.
Are you going to put 2 tablespoons
yeah.
of sugar? Good. All right. So 1 more tablespoon, Crystal?
No.
We got the mayonnaise to do.
Okay, the mayonnaise. How much mayonnaise do we put in?
1/3.
1/3. I like this recipe. 1/3, 1/3, 1/3.
Yeah.
Okay.
Now I'm pouring in the mayonnaise.
All right.
Inside this mixture.
I just got the marshmallows.
How much of the marshmallows are you putting in?
1 cup.
1 cup of marshmallows, okay.
I just poured in the marshmallows.
1 cup?
Mama.
Okay.
After she's mixed it up, we're going to put 6 or more of the cherries.
What kind of cherries are you using?
Maraschino.
Oh, the maraschino?
Yeah.
Oh, okay, the real sweet cherries. All
yeah.
right. And is that it, or do we have something else?
No.
That is it.
That is it. Great.
Okay, it's all mixed.
Okay, so now that she's mixed it, you put in the 6 cherries?
Yeah.
Do you mix those in, or do they just garnish your dish?
They're just for garnish.
Okay, so that's good.
And then stir it.
Oh, we're just stirring it a little.
Okay.
You're done.
All right, we finished our dish. And I'd like to thank Pam Gomez and Crystal Doty for teaching us today how to make their Waldorf salad. Thank you, girls, for cooking on Cooking Without Looking.
Pamela and Crystal's Waldorf Salad. 3 or 4 apples, unpeeled, cut from the core and chopped into bite-sized pieces, about 3 cups. Sprinkle 1 tablespoon of lemon juice over the apples. Measure 1/3 cup raisins into a cereal bowl with warm water. Allow them to sit for a few minutes until they plump up. Chop up 2 stalks of celery. Add 1/3 cup walnuts. This is optional. Mix 1/3 cup of mayonnaise and 2 tablespoons of sugar together in a medium-sized bowl. Add 1 cup of marshmallows and 6 cherries to the mayonnaise mixture. Then add the apples, raisins, walnuts, and celery to the mayonnaise, coating everything evenly. This Waldorf salad recipe serves 6.
Welcome back to our show. We have with us today 2 more students from the Florida School for the Deaf and the Blind. Would you like to tell our audience your names?
My name is Sarah.
And my name is Anthony.
Sarah and Anthony, welcome to our show this afternoon. Now, you guys go to the Florida School for the Deaf and the Blind. How far along are you in the program?
I've been there for 4 years, and they teach you a lot of skills and independent skills. And there is also an apartment that we go and use as it for daily living skills.
Do both of you guys live in apartment? Not the same apartment, of course, but do you guys live in separate? Each live in apartments, and that's what
separate,
the residential program. Like, tell us a little bit about that, Anthony.
It's like independent living apartments. We stay up there. We cook breakfast and dinner every day of the week for ourselves and the people that are in our apartment. There's usually four people in an apartment, and you have your own living room, kitchen, bathroom, and two bedrooms. And really, you're supposed to cook every day, and it teaches you a lot about cooking and the necessities, really, so that maybe after you graduate, you get out of school, you'll be able to cook on your own.
You learn all of the independent living skills that you need to support yourself out in the real world, right?
Yeah, basically.
That's excellent. So we're going to go ahead and start this chili, right? We start out with a ground beef, a pound of lean ground beef, right?
1 pound of lean ground beef. The recipe calls for a pound to a pound and a quarter. It's really your preference, depending on the skillet size that you have. I prefer to use a pound of that.
Okay.
I compensate with other ingredients.
Now, you already have the burner on, and you can can you tell whether it's hot enough by just holding your hand over the top of the pan?
I can, because I can feel it right here.
Okay.
And that's how I would do instead of, I don't want to try to burn myself, so I just put my hand over to see if it's on or not. Mm-hmm.
Okay, so we're going to start this out. We're going to put some burger in there. Is that the first thing that goes into the pan?
Yep, just the ground beef goes in first. I'm going to go ahead and stick that in.
Okay. This.
Now, when you take it out, there's paper on the bottom, of course.
That's a good thing to remember, that there's usually some paper that absorbs the extra moisture, right?
Anthony, can you help, please?
Yeah, I guess.
Thank you.
Oh, I can hear that sizzling already.
And the pepper's still in the container.
Okay, so now our beef is cooking in here. We're going to brown that beef, right?
While it's cooking, actually, we need to stick in some garlic and onion at the same time. 2 cloves of minced garlic.
You had pre-minced this before the show here, right?
I minced the garlic before the show.
Okay.
And then you chop the onion pretty finely, almost minced with the onion as well.
What is this little thing that you have in front of you here? It's a little plastic tower with an onion inside, right?
It's a chopper.
It's a chopper!
With this, all you got to do is just push it up and down, and it rotates the blade. It chops up and down while it rotates the blade so that it gets a good mix of everything that's in there.
An onion chopper is something you could pick up at any place that sells any kind of cookware.
I've seen them in all kinds of places, so I'd say, yeah, probably.
Let me get one of these spoons.
All right. Sorry.
You're fine. Go ahead and stick that half of the onion in there. Okay, we're pretty much done with the chopper until later. You want me to start it up?
Yeah, because you have the handle on the other side.
Yeah. Okay, it's starting to brown a little bit on the bottom.
How can you tell that it's starting to brown? Do you smell it, or do you still have enough vision that you can see it?
I have enough vision to see it, and I can tell it's changing the color. Before you basically cook it and put it in the pot, it's like red, like a red color. But then when you cook it and put it on the stove in the pot and you warm it up and it starts cooking, it turns to brown.
That's why they call it browning the burger, right?
Yep.
Now, I see it's kind of similar. I have a problem with my color vision. I have not only macular degeneration but rod cone dystrophy. So it's kind of hard for me to tell the color if I'm standing there just watching the meat. So I kind of have to do something else while the meat starts cooking. That way, because I know what color it is when it starts, but if I stand there and watch it, it won't appear to change any color to me.
You can't see it. If you didn't have any sight at all, you'd probably be able to tell by the smell.
Yeah, the smell.
And by the feel of the burger, too. Doesn't it get a little, stiffer, I guess you could say?
Yeah.
Okay, so now what is the next step after this?
Now, first, what I'm going to do is I'm going to put in the chili powder, how I tell if I've got too much as I usually feel it, or I can see it most of the time unless it's a real bright environment. It's not like really important that the measurements be precise, so if you put a little extra, then it's fine.
Okay. So, well, let's go for it. Let's watch and see how this works. Now, keep in mind, Anthony has just a little bit of eyesight.
I assume that to be pretty good. I'll go ahead and dump that in there. Let her go ahead and stir that in.
Oh, that smells good.
Starting to smell. Yeah. I don't even know what he smells it.
Yes, it does.
Yeah, that's fine.
All right.
Now I'm going to do a 1 tablespoon of ground cumin, and I'm going to measure it off the same way. I'm going to kind of tap it against the little spoon until it seems about full.
Now, these spices that are coming out of there, they're kind of a dark color, and your measuring spoons are a light color. Is that something that's helpful to you, too?
That's very helpful.
So you can get measuring spoons in any different color. That high contrast is real helpful when you don't see well, isn't it?
Real helpful.
Okay, right, I'm going to dump that in.
You can dump it in one spot, or you can spread it around. Go ahead and mix it up if you'd like.
Well, this is something that's being stirred continuously, isn't it?
Yeah. So.
And what spice goes in there next?
The next one to go in there is going to be the cayenne pepper. Now, the recipe calls for a quarter to a half. This depends on how you like it. Now, I'm going to use the half teaspoon. Now, the way I tell them all apart is we have this particular ring only has four on it, four spoons. The smallest is a quarter. The next size up is a half. The next size up is a teaspoon. And the next size up is a tablespoon. So it's pretty easy to remember. I can just hold them up and tell you without looking at them.
And they're kind of held in order by that little ring in the middle. Is that correct?
Yeah, so they can't really go anywhere.
Okay.
So I'm going to go ahead and this one I can dip inside the container and get out the half teaspoon. Seems pretty flat. I'll go ahead and sprinkle that in there, and then that's ready to mix up.
Okay, now what are these next ingredients that you have left to put in there?
The next ingredient that I'm going to put in there is chili beans and spicy sauce. You don't drain the sauce. You just dump the entire can in there.
Open the can up and dump the whole thing in.
Open it in, dump the whole thing in.
Okay, and this is just chili beans in sauce, and you say you got the hot spicy stuff.
Yeah.
Are you putting in 2 cans of this?
No, 1 can of spicy chili beans. The next one is stewed tomatoes, Mexican recipe.
Hot and spicy.
I'll go ahead and stick that in with the juice. Those are stewed tomatoes. You can also use diced tomatoes. I'll go ahead and mix that in just a little bit. And then we're going to throw in the green chilies. It's just a little 4-ounce can of green chilies. Let her go ahead and stir that in.
Okay. We are going to pull a finished product here right out of our magic oven, because there's still some stuff you need to do to this, Anthony. Is that right?
Yeah, we still got to put on some toppings. First is I'm going to put in some sour cream. I'll take, because it's a fairly big bowl, I'll take a fairly big
A big lump of it.
That's right.
Okay.
That's a pretty word.
And plop it down on there. Oh, love sour cream.
Two of them. All right.
You spread that out a little bit?
I try to keep it in the middle, but a little spread out in the middle so that it's not like a big mound.
Okay.
Okay. And then that's done. I'll take some cilantro. I've already got some, like the garlic that I've already pre-chopped.
Okay.
All right, then I'll take that and I'll just sprinkle it around on top. Not too much. Don't want it to look too busy. And it also adds a fairly decent flavor. Then next, I'll come over and I'll grab some of the red onion that we've chopped up. And I'll take that and add it to the chili as well.
Just sprinkle it on top?
Just grab some and sprinkle it. I'll let you go ahead.
Right. Okay, you're going to sprinkle some of that on that you've been chopping up there?
Yeah.
That's good right there. And then take some of the avocado and sprinkle that on top.
Avocado, which is so gooey.
Then we try to sprinkle that out kind of evenly so that it's you kind of get a even flavor.
So we've sprinkled on all of our garnishes, a little bit of avocado, a little bit of cilantro, a little bit of onion, red onion. And the last thing is just a little bit of cheese, right?
Yeah. Just a little bit of cheese.
And if I might just sprinkle a little bit on there for you guys.
All right.
About like that to taste, right?
Yep.
That's the taste.
That absolutely looks and smells fantastic. Yeah. Thank you guys so much for being here on our show today.
Thank you very much.
Sarah and Anthony's Santa Fe Chili. Brown 1 pound of lean ground beef. Mix in 2 cloves of crushed garlic and 1 small onion chopped.
When the meat is browned, add 1 tablespoon ground cumin, 1 tablespoon chili powder, and 1/2 teaspoon cayenne pepper. Then add 1 10-ounce can chili beans and spicy sauce. Add 1 10.5-ounce can Mexican stewed tomatoes. Then to the whole mixture, add 1 4-ounce can of green chilies. Top it off with chopped red onions and bell peppers. Add avocado, cilantro, and cheddar cheese. Place a large dollop of sour cream in the middle.
Hi, welcome back to Cooking Without Looking, Food for Thought. Today I'm happy to have with me Kathy Minnery from the Florida School for the Deaf and Blind. Welcome, Kathy.
Thank you.
We also have 3 students she brought with her. One is Justin.
Hey.
Hello, Justin.
Hi.
Thank you for being here. And Maggie.
Hello.
Hi, Maggie. And we also have Matt with us today. Hi,
hi.
Matt.
Hi.
How are you?
I'm doing good. How are you?
Good, good. Very good. Now, Kathy, you're the workforce director of workforce development over at the Florida School for the Deaf and Blind. In our first 2 segments, we got to see some of the students and the types of disabilities that they had. Can you give us more of an idea of the types and the range of students that come to your school?
Our school is located in St. Augustine, and we have programs from kindergarten through grade 12, and we also have a postgraduate program, which we call continuing students, and those are students from 18 to 22. And we serve students who are blind and visually impaired and deaf and hearing, hard of hearing.
And how many students are in your school?
We have 765, and we're the largest school of its kind in the country.
Okay. Out of those 765, how many would you say are visually impaired versus hearing impaired?
About 190 of those students are visually impaired.
Okay. All right. And how much does it cost to go to your school? It's located out in where? St. Augustine, you said?
Mm-hmm.
What is the tuition?
We have students from all over the state who come to our school, and it's a free public school, just as if they go to their own public school in their local school district. So there's no cost for families to send their students to us, and they have the option of whether they want to send their students to public school or our school.
Well, that's a good use of tax dollars then.
It really is.
That is great. So if they come from all over the state, do they have to pay for their room and board and transportation? Is that covered as well?
That's covered as well. They are mandated by law to have a free, appropriate public education. So we are a state agency, and we get a separate appropriation from the state for all of our costs. And our budget's about $40 million a year. And that pays for the room and board as well as transportation to take the students home each weekend. We follow the same basic school schedule as any public school would do.
As far as parents go, how do you let the parents know that the school exists?
Well, for parents of babies who have a hearing or vision loss, and now in the state of Florida, testing is done immediately when all babies are born. So if a hearing or vision loss is detected at that time, then the parents are referred to an organization that can then refer them to us. And we have a parent-infant program if the child has a hearing or vision loss, and we can go in and do counseling and information and referral services with those families. And independent living skills is a very strong part of our program, both during the school day and for those who live in the dormitories or apartments, to put those skills to use in the after-school program.
Something else that's very impressive that I've heard, that your graduation rate is very high. You want to tell us a little bit about that?
Well, we have an opportunity in some of our programs to offer both the standard high school diploma, which is equivalent to any high school diploma in the state of Florida, and also for some of our students to be able to earn a special diploma, which means that they are job ready and they have met the requirements to be able to, you know, go into work and handle a job. So about 99% of our graduates will earn one or the other of these diplomas. Of those, about 67% of our blind students will earn the standard diploma and be able then to go on to any college or community college program in our state or out of state.
We have, first of all, we have Justin. You're pretty much new to the school, is that right?
Yeah, that's correct.
You've only been there about a year and a half, 2 years?
2 years.
Okay, 2 years. How do you compare this school to the public school you were in?
If one were to compare and contrast the Florida School for the Deaf and Blind with other high schools across the state, you would notice similarities and differences. Similarities being we take the same high school classes, because I'm in high school, so for example, we take the same high school classes that are offered in standard public schools. The only difference is that we have adaptations, such as for the visually impaired, we have Braille and large print. We have mobility teachers who will teach us how to travel independently on our own. And we have the adult living or independent living program where we can learn how to cook, clean, and take care of ourselves when we make that transition into college.
Tell them what your plans are for the future.
Well, high school has definitely been a tough road, losing my sight during high school. And from public school till now, you know, things have changed on my career goals and ideas of what I would like to do. Right now I have my mindset on continuing my education, more than likely at first a community college to get my basics down and make it easier. But my long-term goal is to get a law degree with international relations, probably from the Florida State University.
Maggie, can you tell us what the postgraduate program does for you?
Well, what we do is we learn how to cook, clean, learn how to do laundry, learn how to go shopping, learn how to travel on your own, learn how to get around by a cab so the school bus don't have to take you everywhere. Learn how to set up your activities on your own.
So basically you're learning important lifestyle skills so you can go out on your own when you're like 21, 22, get your own apartment, right, and start working. Where do you hope to work when you graduate?
Well, right now I work with my boss after school. And I used to work at Chick-fil-A Public and clothing store.
Oh, good. So that gives you a wide range of variety. See what you like, and then you'll be able to, you'll probably change careers a few times until you find something you really like. Well, Matt, we want to find out a little bit about how you became blind, first of all, if you don't mind sharing that with us.
I don't mind doing that.
Okay, honey, why don't you go ahead and...
My blind is due to, when I was very young, when I was about 8 years old, I had a brain tumor in my head, and they said it was the size of the pizza. Today, they did the MRI, saying if I haven't took a brain tumor out of my head, I'll be dead in 4 days. What's caused my blindness is when I went in up the operation to get it out, and when they were taken out, they bumped into my two active nerves and may have damaged and crooked.
Can you tell us a little bit more about what you want to do when you graduate?
Well, I have separate goals I like to attend to. Like, I like to try to be a massage therapist, but if that doesn't work out, I like to be an actor.
Okay, so that's pretty diverse.
Yeah, thank you.
I want to thank you, all of you, Kathy, Justin, Maggie, and Matt again. Thank you all for being here today. On behalf of Celia, Alan, and myself, or as we like to call ourselves, the I-Team, keep on cooking without looking. Bye for now.
You've been listening to Cooking Without Looking on ACB Radio Mainstream. Join us again next week, same time, same place, for more interesting recipes and meet some more interesting folks who don't need to look while they cook. ACB Radio is grateful to Renee Rentmeester, producer of Cooking Without Looking, for allowing us to use this audio. If you would like information and strategies for contacting your own local public television station to request that they air upcoming seasons of Cooking Without Looking, give Renee Rentmeester a call. Her telephone number is 888-290-7005.